apologize for the scripture reading confusion. I told David the wrong scripture, so getting ahead of myself, that's for this evening, so you'll have that ready to go for this evening. Apologize for that. David mentioned that we have visitors. We're thankful for your presence, and we're glad that you are here. When Clarence leads singing, often on Sunday morning, he will lead the song, "The Lord is in His Holy Temple. Let all the earth keep silence before Him." That's a great song. And I want to talk about that song this morning. We sing that song a lot, and it has some really good sentiments. I thought this morning we might take the time to go back there and look at that. So if you'll turn with me this morning to Habakkuk chapter 2. Habakkuk chapter 2. Appreciate Phil leading us in those songs to exalt and laud, meaning to magnify God. We're going to be reminded this morning of God's greatness. And I'm glad that you're here, and I hope that we will study something this morning from God's Word that will encourage all of us and strengthen us and help us to go throughout this week to serve God to the best of our ability. When you turn to the little book of Habakkuk, you're looking at a message from God through the prophet Habakkuk that deals with Judah's sin, and God is going to bring punishment upon Judah for their sin, and He's going to use the Babylonians to do that. And so in Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, Habakkuk wants to know why God is overlooking the violent sins of Judah. And he says, well, if you'll just give me time, I will punish them. I'm going to bring the Chaldeans, verse 6, or the Babylonians, to judge them and punish them. And then starting in verse 12, Habakkuk raises a second question, and that is, how can you use a nation more wicked than Judah to punish Judah? And so he raises that question in the latter part of chapter 1, and then in chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, he waits for God's answer. Habakkuk is trying to make sense of this and understand this. So that, in a nutshell, is the message of the book of Habakkuk in chapter 2. God will go on to talk about Babylon's sins herself. And then in chapter 3, Habakkuk will offer up a song of praise to God and close with his confidence in God. So Habakkuk is trying to make sense of how all of this works together. When you look at the book of Habakkuk, you find a structure that is interesting, and that is that there is a negative message followed by a positive message. It runs throughout the book. For example, you have in chapters 1 and 2 through 17, you have the negative message of the sins of Judah, and how that God is going to bring Babylon to punish those sins. But then it's followed by an attitude of faith and trust. In chapters 2, 1 through 4, Habakkuk is going to wait. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower. I'm going to look and see what God is going to do. And then the well-known passage in chapter 2 and verse 4, the righteous shall live by faith. So there is a negative message followed by a positive message of faith and trust. When you look at chapter 2, beginning in verse 5, verses 5 through 19, there is a series of woes. We'll look at those in just a minute, where Babylon is described for various sins that she's committing. And then it's followed by this well-known passage that we're going to look at this morning. But Jehovah is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before Him. So a recognition of God's greatness. So again, a negative followed by a positive. And then when you turn to chapter 3 in Habakkuk's song, as it were, of praise to God, like a psalm, he opens up in verses 1 through 17 with God's various activities that He has done in the past for His people. And he says, for example, in verse 17, even though the fig tree shall not flourish, neither shall the fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive oil shall fail, the fields shall yield no food. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. There's going to come a time when things are going to be difficult with this Babylonian captivity and so forth. Even though things are bad, verse 18, yet I will rejoice in Jehovah, and some other positive things there. So negative, often followed by a positive statement. So that's what we have here in chapter 2 and verse 20, if you'll turn with me there now. In chapter 2 and verse 20, we have this positive statement. The Lord is in His holy temple. And it comes on at the end of five woes. Turn with me to chapter 2 and verse 6. Babylon is a wicked nation. They themselves will be punished by God. And some of these sins are listed. Verse 6, woe to him that increases that which is not his. So taking things by violence and extortion and running roughshod over people. Verse 9, woe to him that gets an evil gain for his house. Verse 12, woe to him that builds a town with blood. Verse 15, woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink. And then verse 19, woe unto him that saith to the wood, awake, so idolatry. So you've got these five woes that touch on various aspects of Babylon's sinful life. And at the end of that, we have this positive statement. Notice the word but. But the Lord, or but Jehovah, is in his holy temple. This is like a postscript. It's like a statement at the end that is meant to be a contrast. You've got this evil Babylon, but Jehovah is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. And that's what we sing about a lot in our song. But I want us to study that this morning. I want us to consider that this morning. Notice, first of all, that it is, in the immediate context of verse 20, it's a contrast between false dead idols and the one true living God. Notice that the statement is, but Jehovah is. In verse 18, what prophet is the graven image that the maker thereof has graven it, the molten image? This is idolatry. Idols made of wood and stone that aren't real, that don't exist. They're only in the imagination of the one making them. Even the teacher of lies and he that fashions it and forms trusts therein to make dumb or idols that won't speak. Woe unto him that saith to the wood, awake, and to the dumb stone, arise. Shall this teach? Behold, it is overlaid with gold and silver, and there is no breath at all in the midst of it. Notice that it's dead. It's a helpless, dead idol. And by contrast, Jehovah is, underscore that in your Bible, is. He's living. He's real. And he's living and real today, this morning. And he's in his holy temple. So notice, first of all, that there is a contrast here. And that's what we want to consider this morning. Before I go any farther, I wanted to make this point that this passage is not talking about our demeanor in the church building. It would certainly include that. But look at the verse. He's talking about all the earth. He's not just talking about God's people when they come into the church building. What we're talking about this morning, brethren, is our demeanor before God on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday and Sunday, and then it starts all over again every day of the week. When we sing about the Lord is in His holy temple, let all the earth keep silence before Him, that's not talking about our demeanor in the church building. It's talking about our demeanor and our attitude all throughout our life. Every day our approach to God should be this. I believe it includes while we're here, certainly. And it would include when we're in Bible class and while we're here. But this is for all time. It's every day. Our attitude should be, let all the earth keep silence before Him. So let's look at this great statement this morning. In contrast to these helpless, dead idols of Babylon that don't do anything, they don't speak, they don't help anybody, Jehovah, the Eternal One, is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before Him. What a great message. And when we learn this attitude, it'll help us to be better in God's sight. Habakkuk says Jehovah is, in contrast to these dead idols, and he says he's in his holy temple. Turn with me to Psalm 11 and verse 4. What is his holy temple? Well, there have been a number of suggestions about that. And in a way, God rules over all the earth. He can be anywhere at any time. But I believe Psalm 11 is a good commentary on this. The psalmist writes, Jehovah is in his holy temple. Jehovah, his throne is in heaven. His eyes behold. In other words, God sees us. He sees us all the time. His eyelids try or test us, the children of men. Jehovah, number one, is in his holy temple. He is in heaven on a throne, and this is the place of God's rule and authority and power. And he looks down upon us each and every day. What is our demeanor in front of him? How are we acting in front of him? He's trying and testing to see if we are living according to his word and his will when we're at school and at work and at home and other places. The Lord is in his holy temple. It's the place where he sits on a throne to rule and reign over us. It's also a place where, from where he hears our prayers. Turn with me to Jonah. You remember how that Jonah was running from his responsibilities and the Lord makes this great fish to swallow him and he's in the belly of this great fish 3 days. And what is he doing in there? Well, he's had a change of heart. And notice with me what he does there. He prays to God. And so in Jonah chapter 2 and verse 4, and I said, I am cast out from before thine eyes. I will look again toward thy holy temple. And then verse 7, when my soul faints within me, I remember Jehovah, and my prayer came unto thee into thy holy temple. It's the place where God hears our prayer. Turn with me to Micah chapter 1 in verse 2. It's the place from which he will make sure that his people are judged. Micah is written to both the northern and southern kingdom of Israel. And when they are not living right, God holds them accountable just like he does for us today. And notice in Micah chapter 1 what we find here with regard to God and his holy temple. Hear ye peoples, all of you, hearken, O earth, and all that are therein, and let the Lord be witness against you, the Lord from his holy temple. For behold, Jehovah comes forth out of his place and will come down and tread upon the high places of the earth, and then judgment is discussed there. It's the place from which he will come in judgment on his people. Notice it's a holy temple. We serve a holy God who's separate from sin and worldliness. It's a place where God will rule, where he will hear our prayers, where he will come in judgment. And we need to stand in awe of this holy God that we serve. Habakkuk says, but Jehovah is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silent before him. This is not a church building passage. It's not a passage just for God's people. All the earth. Whether we're a Christian or not, we need to have this attitude. And you stop and think about, brethren and friends this morning, how better this world would be, starting with our community here in Clarksville, and the state of Tennessee, and the United States, and around the world. How better our world would be if all the earth would keep silence before him. And that's what we're going to focus on in just a minute, this idea of keeping silent before him. But just think about that. If all the earth would do that, not rail against God, not argue with God, not try to wish him out of their existence, to deny him like the atheist. All persons are under God's control and authority, whether they're members of the church or not. And many people just do not realize that. And we've got to help them to see that. Turn with me to Psalm 33 and verse 8. Psalm 33 and verse 8. There's several psalms that talk about how that God is over all of the earth. The next time you're talking with a friend or a coworker or somebody, and just remind them that all the earth is under God's authority. I think some people think that if you want to go to church, that's fine. You know, more power to you. You know, if you want to read your Bible and pray and go to church, you know, more power to you. That's just not my thing. And so some people think that God is for people who need a God. And if I don't need Him, then I don't need Him. I'm not under His authority. Roger and I were talking with some folks yesterday in his neighborhood, trying to talk with them about Bible studies and so forth, door knocking, going around. And it was interesting, the age delineation. We talked with several that were older, and they would say, I read my Bible occasionally, I go to church occasionally. We came to a young lady that was probably 18, 19 maybe, appeared to be an Austin Peay student. She said, I never read my Bible. Never. I don't ever go to church. So, I don't need God. Well, she's a part of all the earth that is under God's authority. She needs to bring her life in conformity to God's Word and God's will. But it's interesting how that we're having a generation, the younger generations are just going to be more secular. Now, I understand that you can't judge an entire youth group across America by one person. I understand that. And there's exceptions to that. But what we're seeing is, as newer generations are coming up, they're secular. And so I just asked her, I said, well, why is that? Why is it that you never read your Bible? And she had some reasons for that, and we talked about that. But the new generations coming up are purely secular. And we need to remind them and help them to see that all of us have to be under God's word and authority and rule and reign. It's not just, well, if you want to be religious, that's your choice. That's not for me. All of us, all of the earth, you see. So Psalm 33 and verse 8 is one of many passages. Let all the earth fear Jehovah. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. That's from presidents on down to your average citizen. That's world leaders on down to your average citizen and everybody in between. Everybody! We've gotten away from that in our world. We're trying to kick God out of our life. We're kick God out of the schools and kick God out of our government and kick God out. But He's not going anywhere. He still rules over all the earth. And one day we will face Him. So it's a beautiful statement that, number one, the Lord is. He's not dead and lifeless. Number two, He's in His holy temple. His throne is in heaven, and from that place, He does extraordinary things and holds us accountable. And number three, all of us are accountable before Him. All of us. May we, as we have come to learn to obey Jesus Christ, may we help others see that very thing. Turn with me to chapter 47 and verse 2. Here's another example, Psalm 47 and verse 2. Jehovah, Most High, is terrible. Not in the sense of, well, that was a terrible job you did. Terrible in the sense of awesome and magnificent and great. He is great King over all the earth. Verse 7, for God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. God reigns over the nations. God sits upon His holy throne. The princes of the peoples are gathered together to be the people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong unto God. He is greatly exalted. God is not just for religious people. We need to help our friends and neighbors see that all of the earth is to keep silent before Him. So now I want to come to the heart of our lesson. What does it mean to keep silent before the Lord? Again, this is not talking about our demeanor in the church building, although it would apply to that. It's every day I need to keep silent before the Lord. What does that mean? It's an attitude. It's an attitude and a demeanor that I'm going to be silent before the Lord. Let's see how that works itself out. First of all, the word literally means in the Hebrew, hush. And it's onomatopoetic, which means that the sound of the word itself is the actual action that it's describing. The Hebrew word is hush. We would say today, hush, hush, hush up. Be quiet or be still or settle down. And so hush, which we would say hush. And so it's this attitude and this demeanor of a hushed disposition in the sight of an almighty God every day of our life. Let's look at a couple of passages. Turn with me to Zephaniah 1 and verse 7 where it shows up again. Zephaniah 1 and verse 7. Turn with me there. Hold thy peace, same idea, same word. Hold thy peace at the presence of the Lord Jehovah. For the day of Jehovah is at hand, for Jehovah hath prepared a sacrifice, he hath consecrated his guests. Hold your peace. Hush. Turn with me to Zechariah chapter 2 and verse 13. Zechariah 2:13. Be silent, same word. Be silent, all flesh. Look at it, all flesh. Not just those who are religious. All flesh before Jehovah. For he is waked up out of his holy habitation. The same thing that we're looking at here. So it is a hushed, calm, and quiet, and peaceful demeanor in the sight of an almighty God. We're not railing at God, shaking our fist. We're not arguing with God. We're not resisting God. We're not questioning God and having some inner battle and struggle. We're hushed before God. And when we'll do that, we'll see that our life is much better off. Now let's look this morning at some attitudes and some demeanors of silence. Have you ever gotten ready to prepare for something great? Something great is about to happen, and there's a moment of silence right before. Kim can recognize this. She plays in a band. She's been in bands before. Right before the conductor starts the song, it's pretty quiet, isn't it? He gets up there and he opens up, he's got his baton, raises his hand. Is there a bunch of commotion going on out in the audience? No, it's quiet. People are preparing for something. Have you ever been in a situation where somebody important got up to speak and they're walking up and they turn right here and you can tell he or she is about to say something? Everybody's pretty quiet. What is that? That's the silence of preparation. And we need that in our life. Here's a period of time where we're going to contemplate something very important. It's the downbeat for that song. Or it's the very first word out of that speaker's mouth. And we can't wait to hear that. And so we're thinking about it and we're preparing our minds and our lives for something great that's about to happen. We need to have that attitude each day with God. The silence of contemplation and preparation. Turn with me to Psalm 4 and verse 4. Because we're in the presence of an almighty God, something great does happen. It's God. And we need the silence and the hushed demeanor of preparing to receive something great from God today. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Why be still? Why stand in awe? Because of God. Look at Psalm 46. This is what I meant to tell David earlier. I don't know how I got 1 Thessalonians. That was on my mind, I guess, for tonight. But Psalm 46 and verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. We need, first of all, the silence of just being still to think about God and the greatness and the grandeur and the glory, and be still and know that I am God. I don't believe the psalmist is talking about just purely book knowledge. Be still while you're reading a book about God. It's be still and know God. Experience Him in your life. Know that He's working. And know how His Word is working in you. It starts with book knowledge. But it goes out from there to experience what God wants for us and to apply those things in our life. Be still and know. Be still and know. Sometimes while we're preparing for something, especially something that's important, there's a stillness. And I want you to think about that with regard to our lives each and every day. We need that stillness in our life. Here's another stillness that we need in our life, and that is the silence of learning. You know, our school teachers want this. They typically want a quiet environment that we know that that's the best environment for learning. And so teachers will often, you know, hush their kids or, okay, let's quiet down. Now we got to learn our lesson. We know that in a quiet environment, that's when there is the learning going on. Did you ever have your mom and dad do something where you were carrying on and they say, hey, hush a minute. I want to tell you something. Did you ever have something like that? Be quiet just a minute. I need to tell you something. What are they doing? They're getting our attention so that we can hear something and learn it. We can't really learn it while we're carrying on and making noise. We need the silence of discernment and learning. James said, be swift to hear and slow to speak. And then he goes on to talk about hearing the Word of God and doing it. Be swift to hear and slow to speak. Someone has said that's why God gives us two ears and one mouth, right? The importance of hearing. And that's why He makes the ears to be open and the mouth to what? Close, you know? There's times when hearing and being calm and quiet, it's where the learning comes in. You know, one of our biggest problems in our world today is everybody's running their mouth and nobody is learning God's Word. Everybody's got their opinions and their think-sos and their ideologies and their ways of life and their agendas, and we're just, you know, all over the internet and everywhere else. Everybody just needs to be quiet and learn from God. The proverb writer says that we are not to lean upon our own understanding. We're to fear the Lord and lean not upon our own understanding. And that means that we just need to be quiet. Proverbs 3:5. And God's ways and thoughts are higher than our ways and thoughts. Isaiah 58:8-9. And we just need to be quiet and learn His ways and learn His thoughts and apply them in our lives. But everybody is shouting today. Shouting, literally and metaphorically, their views about this or that. Ranting and raving and carrying on about this or that. We just need the silence of learning. It is not in man that walks to direct his own steps. Jeremiah 10:23. It is not, contrary to popular opinion. And when we have this attitude each day of, Lord, teach me. You tell me how to live. We will be a better person. And I'm just going to listen to what you have for me. Obviously, there are things in our life as a Christian that involve our mouth. Prayers involve our mouth. Singing involves our mouth. Saying amen and other things involve speaking, preaching and teaching and all of that. Obviously, we're talking about a demeanor and an attitude of learning. And that'll make us a better person. Here's another silence that we need. The silence of humility. Have you ever been in a situation where you got caught doing something wrong and you probably shouldn't have done that? And for at least for a split second there, you're kind of quiet. You have this sheepish, kind of quiet demeanor. Shouldn't have done that. That's our humility kicking in. And when we have humility and we realize, I shouldn't have done that, or I'm something that I shouldn't be. There's a period there where we're calm and we're listening and we're hearing because we realize, I shouldn't have done that. You know what would be good for us every day is the silence of humility. Turn with me to Psalm 46 and verse 10 again. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. God is high, that exalted. I'm low. Each and every day, I'm going to approach God with humility. There are some people that kick God around. They tell God what to do. They order God around. They boss God around. Really? Yeah, they do that all the time. We need the silence of humility. That we're not God. We're man. We're a creature in His sight. He's the Creator, big C. We're the creature, small c. And I believe the silence of humility would be good for us each and every day. It would say that I'm not God. There is one God who is in His holy temple, and I need to be serving Him. And I humbly serve Him each and every day. We've got to be careful about those little things that creep in, like the Pharisee in Luke chapter 18. Well, I'm glad I'm not like the publican and the sinner. I'm better than that. I fast and I pray. You've got to be careful about that. You start creeping up. And there's several passages, both in the Old and New Testament, say that God humbles those people who exalt themselves. But if we will humble ourselves, He will exalt us in His own way. But when we try to exalt ourselves, He's going to humble us. And you know what helps us to stay humble is silence. This hushed demeanor where we remember each and every day we're just a creature in God's sight. Be still and know that I am God. Not Chris Reeves. I, God, will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The silence of humility is good for us. Do you know that the silence of reverence and awe is good for us? Have you ever been in a situation where you were almost breathless? You were just taken back by something that you were looking at. Maybe you went out to the Grand Canyon or you saw something and you're just, whoa, you're quiet for a minute there. You're just awestruck about something that you've seen or heard. We need the silence of reverence and awe and adoration. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28, our God is a consuming fire, and we need to serve Him with reverence and awe. A-W-E, the old English word, where we're just taken back by the greatness of God. Have you ever been speechless? That's what I'm talking about. You're speechless. Wow. Even if it's for a split second. We need the silence of reverence and awe. Realizing that we're in the presence of God, not only in the church building, but each and every day when we're at work and when we're at school. And we need to be humbled by that great thought. The Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence. Not just in the church building on Sundays and Wednesdays. Every day. Imagine how the world would change if we would all live by Habakkuk's statement here. Let's have the silence of reverence and awe and adoration. We need the silence of submission. Have you ever been in a situation where someone exhibited submission? It might be an employee to an employer. It might be a child to a parent.
It might be a citizen to a law officer. Have you ever known of situations where someone, at least for a small period of time, had to submit an athlete to a coach? Or any person in authority, and somebody is submitting for just a split. What are they usually doing? They're real quiet. They recognize that at this moment I'm in submission to someone that's in authority, and they are typically quiet. Every once in a while, like in the case of law enforcement or in these other examples, somebody's going to go kicking and screaming and, "You can't tell me to do that!" But typically, when somebody is in authority over us and we recognize that lawfully and we're in submission, we are typically kind of quiet about that, aren't we? We need the silence of submission.
That's what Samuel said, "Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth." Ross had some great lessons on that recently. Speak, Lord, thy servant, I'm just a humble servant, I'm listening. Samuel wasn't running his mouth. He said, "Speak, Lord."
And James says, "Be swift to hear and slow to speak." Each and every day, God, you're in control of my life. I'm not controlling you. You're in control of my life. I'm in submission to you. And speak. I'm here to listen. I'm your humble servant. In fact, Ross talked about that as a quality of a good listener is recognizing that we are servants. That was a good point.
When we recognize each and every day that we're in submission to God, we're going to let Him do the talking. He's in the driver's seat. And we're going to bring our life into conformity to His Word and His will. We need the silence of submission and resolution to resolve to simply do what God wants us to do. Have you ever experienced the silence of patient trust?
Have you ever been in a situation where you had to trust something? Maybe your doctor tells you something, you've got all these questions and all these comments, and then the doctor tells you, and then you're driving home just quiet. Well, I've got to trust him in what he said and do what he says. When we find ourselves trusting, it's another time for silence.
The silence of patient trust. Turn with me to Psalm 9 and verse 10. We trust that God's Word is right. There are things in our life where we might have questions or concerns or we don't understand. Habakkuk had to go through that. And in chapter 2 it says, "I'm just going to sit on my tower and wait and listen." When we're trying to figure out God's plan and we're trying to understand this or that, we need the silence of patient trust. "And they that know thy name," look at it, "will put their trust in thee, for thou, Jehovah, hast not forgotten them that seek thee." We just patiently trust God and we let Him do what He is doing. He's on His throne in His holy temple. Some people don't want the silence of submission. "I'm not going to listen." Some people don't want the silence of patient trust. I can't wait. I'm going to strike out and do what I want. I can't wait for the Lord. I can't wait for His answer. I've prayed and now I'm not going to wait for His answer. I'm off and running and I'm doing this. Nope. Just be silent. And God will carry out His will in our lives. And He can work with us. And then last of all, turn with me to Revelation chapter 8 and verse 1. This is similar to what I talked about before with regard to the symphony concert about to start or the person making the great speech. We need the silence of expectation. Have you ever been in a situation where you were expecting something?
Expecting somebody to say something? Expecting somebody to give you something or find out some news and you're calm about that?
In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 8, turn with me there. God has been opening up these seals, which means his judgments on Rome. He's unfolding various kinds of judgments, number one, to punish them for persecuting Christians, and number two, to try to get themselves to come to their own repentance. And look at what we read here, chapter 8 and verse 1. And when he opened the seventh seal, there followed a silence in heaven about the space of a half an hour. And I saw the seven angels that stand before God, and there were given unto them seven trumpets, expecting this last judgment to be opened up. There's silence in heaven. This is God acting. This is God's judgment about to happen. Stop and think about that. The silence of expectation. And we need that in our life. Just to be calm, hushed, stilled, peaceful each and every day, expecting God to unfold His plan. This is a beautiful sentiment. We live in a noisy, hurried, chaotic world with many voices competing for our attention on our phones and on our computers and everywhere else. Noisy, hurried, and chaotic. Let all the earth keep silent before Him. What a great thought. Where if we will be silent before God in these areas that we talked about, the silence of preparation and learning and humility and reverence and submission and trust and expectation, when we will have that demeanor each and every day, God can work in us and God can use us. But God can't when we are distracted by the noisy, hurried, chaotic things of the world. He can't use us. It's a fitting response to God's holiness and majesty. And so the encouragement this morning is, it's not just for the church building, but each and every day, have a hushed approach to God, and He will open up great things in our life. He will use us. His word and will can be worked through us. We've got to turn off the noise and remember that the Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before Him. I'm glad we sing that song on a regular basis because it's a great thought, and I hope that that has helped us this morning. You know, this silent demeanor of submission would bring someone forward this morning in baptism to Christ. The silent demeanor of reverence and respect and submission would bring an erring Christian back to the Lord. The silence that we've talked about this morning, this hushed, peaceful demeanor, would allow us to go out this week and be used in a great way in the Lord's work and will. So I hope that that has helped us this morning. And if in your quiet contemplation right now, you're thinking about, I need to obey the Lord, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?